trials meet us. We fall into trials. You can't stop it. You can't control it. You can't fix it. It happens, doesn't it? It happens to all of us. And this is a massive part of genuinely following Jesus Christ. In the sovereignty of God, He ordains or allows trials of various kinds to meet us because He wants to do a greater work in us. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light. I wanna shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Cause all I want is to be in the light. Yeah. All I want is to be in the light.
Hey listeners, welcome today to Live in the Light. We are getting right into it with a new series going verse by verse in the book of James. We are using the tagline here, putting feet to our faith. In this series, we're allowing the Lord to speak to each of us in a unique way, arming us with practical wisdom that we can take through every day. I love in this series here, Robbie, you say, if your faith is real, prove it with your life. It's like a challenge directly from the Holy Spirit to show the world what you believe. What a massive challenge.
It is, and that's exactly, Shannon, what James does. I mean, James is my kind of guy because he just is not afraid to tell it like he is. And he gets up into the face of all his readers, and he does it with boldness, and sometimes he's blunt, but man, he's ready to see a difference in the lives that he is reaching. So to our wonderful Live in the Light listeners, we start a series here. It's going to take us, you know, several days to go through, but we're excited, again, verse by verse, through God's Word, how He's going to speak to us. And today's message, Shannon, especially, he starts off, I like, James kind of says, hey, what's up? And then he goes right into the reality that we're going to have trials, but there's the opportunity for joy within trials. And this specific text has meant so much to me. There's so much wisdom. What God's Word says to us, in every trial we face, there's the opportunity to find joy. And you ask, how? That's why you got to keep listening. Again, if you get today's foundation, if you get today's text, and you start to live it out, like honestly and literally, you will begin to see and experience joy in the most difficult times of our lives because it's by God's design, God's plan, and yes, God's wisdom. So excited to start James, excited against James 1, excited for how God's going to speak to you today specifically in this series, in this text.
Yeah, exciting for sure, but definitely not easy. It's tough in culture today to show what we believe and not just give lip service to these biblical truths. But let's actually figure out what the Bible says about joy and trials. So open your Bible with me, if you can, to James chapter 1. We are going verse by verse. So let's start in verse 1 with our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons.
Multi-month series in the Epistle of James. And I want you to notice that our series tagline for this is putting feet to our faith, putting feet to our faith. I think this is an excellent tagline because James is a wonderful, practical challenge for believers in Christ. James is often called, maybe your Bible at the introduction has this, James is often called the Proverbs of the New Testament. This epistle essentially brings the message of this. If you could say it in a sentence, it's this. If your faith is real, then prove it with your life. That's essentially the overarching message of James. If your faith is real, then let's see it proven by the life that you live. This wonderful letter shows us knowledge, church, knowledge is not enough. Why is knowledge not enough? Because after all, even the demons believe and shudder, James 2:19 says. Knowledge is not enough. The book of James is convicting. Listen to this. The book of James, it brings 60 obligations, 60 imperative, 50 plus imperatives, if you add some others, 60 obligations out of 108 verses. Okay, so it's a convicting book calling for action and fruit if our faith is real. James is not afraid to get up in the face of the believer too. We're really gonna enjoy that part. At least I am in James. He's not afraid to get in our grill and to call us to pure and undefiled religion. That's James 1:27. This series will seek to call true believers to not just talk the talk. And one of the realities is across the church and in this room right now, there are some people, you have some knowledge, you talk a big game, but the walking aspect of that is far behind. You will be challenged in this series, as will I. Praise the Lord. We'll probably have some people that don't want to hear it and they'll leave. Nothing I can do about that. But if you want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're serious about his reality and spirit working in you, then we will be challenged, all of us, to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. We're very excited how the Lord might use that and all the different themes that come up again in the book of James as well. So just providing some context for us as we begin this epistle in James. On the screen for you, the author of James, this is surprising, is James. He is also called James the Just. He is most commonly believed, and we believe with great certainty, to be the half-brother of Jesus himself. James was martyred for his faith in Christ around AD 62, according to the historian Josephus. The date of writing for this epistle is likely the oldest book in the New Testament. It was likely written as early as AD 45. That's very fascinating, which would put it before the First Council of Jerusalem in AD 50. The audience of the book of James is directed to Jewish Christians scattered in the dispersion, which is listed in the very first verse of the very first chapter in James, James 1:1. Those who were in the dispersion were Jews scattered beyond Palestine in various places for various reasons. James wrote ultimately to encourage strongly these new Christians in their faith, and he sought to exhort them, as we have heard, that true faith must lead to true works. Or in other words, they must put again feet to their faith. Just to give you a heads up, practically speaking, we are planning around 16 weeks in this series in James. Lord willing, that will take us to the end of May. There will be a couple of spots in between now and then of single messages, but we believe it's going to be good. Again, Lord willing, this will take us to the end of May. So let's get started then. We're going to look at the first four verses today in James, and I am excited and pray that you will be encouraged as we do so. James 1, verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love he says that. He says, I'm the half-brother of Jesus. Doesn't say that. He says, I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. And then this is what we love about this epistle. He wastes no time whatsoever and says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So verse one states what we've already covered. The author in verse one, the audience in verse one, we also see here a greeting in verse one. And just like Proverbs again, James wastes no time. He gets right into the heart of his message that he wants his audience and believers to hear right away. And immediately he exhorts and commands in verse two, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. And this now, verse two, becomes our big idea for today. This is our theme. This is really our propositional statement. Let's get it on the screen. Our overarching point number one is this. We are to consider it joy within our trials. That is the topic of today. We are to consider it joy as we meet trials of various kinds. Now, as we love to do here at Hope Bible Church, right, where we're in the scriptures, we want to live in the text. We always say that. Let's live in the text. Let's put ourselves in the shoes or the sandals of the audience that is receiving this letter for the first time. So you're a first century believer. You are scattered in the dispersion. You are a super newbie to the Christian faith. Most likely just naming Christ would bring hardship. You'd be ostracized. Just naming Christ, there'd be a struggle. And in many cases, there would be a real chance of persecution. You understand that James has written a letter, this epistle, one of the first ones to be written. You are excited. You are expectant. You are anticipating the encouragement you might give. You pick it up or it is read to you. He says, hello. And then immediately he says, hey, when you're in trials, consider it joy. I think if you were expecting the encouragement of James as you were in the midst of difficulty and hardship, you may not expecting that to be the first sentence of exhortation he brings. Surely you'd be like, oh, he's joking, right? That's one of those kind of introduction greeting jokes, right? And then he'll get into kind of what he really means to say. Or maybe you're listening to that. Maybe he made a typo. Maybe there was a word missing there. Like maybe he says, hey, when you avoid trials of various kinds, consider it joy. But it wasn't a typo. Consider it joy, brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, and we're about to find out why. He says, if you notice in verse 2, we're going to look so carefully at the text. Please do that with me. And I encourage you throughout this series, underline and highlight and circle and make notes in the margin. You can carry this with you in this series for the rest of your life, Lord willing, in the book of James. He says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters. He's addressing all true believers in Christ. Count it all joy. The word count can be translated consider or reckon. Reckon it all joy. Consider it all joy. What's so important about verse 2 in this phrase, count it as all joy, this is a verb of thought, not a verb of emotion. Count it all joy is a verb of thought, not of emotion. So this is a massively important piece of theology for everyone here who's alive in Jesus Christ. Count it all joy is not a command to feel. Count it all joy is a command of how we should think. Consider it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Think, reckon about the reality of the joy that can be found as trials meet you within your life. This is hugely important for us because feelings, as we know, are lousy leaders, but they are great followers. Many believers, including myself, are tempted on a regular basis to be led by my emotions. That's a very dangerous path to follow. I am a feeler. I am emotional. I can be very tempted to trust my feelings as opposed to my thoughts rooted in the Word of God. Count it all joy is not based on how you feel. It's commanding us to think according to the truth of God as trials meet us within our lives. If we are left to find joy only when we feel it, we're done. If you only know joy when you feel it, you're in huge trouble. That is not biblical. That is not sanctification in Christ. You will be left high and dry and floundering in the spiritual ditch. It must be a renewal of the mind to count it or consider it or reckon it as all joy as we meet trials of various kinds. So, count it all joy means this. Consider, believers, brothers and sisters, consider it all joy means in every trial we face, there's an opportunity and potential for joy within it. Every trial you and I face, there is the potential to discover and to consider joy within that trial. I wanna make sure this is so clear as we start too. When we speak of trials, or the Bible speaks of trials, this is an external trial coming against us or happening to us. It is an outward influence that meets us in life. This is so key, okay? Do not call consequences for sin trial. That is not a biblical trial. That is a consequence of our sin. When we suffer for sinful choices, that is not in the category of a biblical trial. That is in the category of our own foolishness and sinfulness. A trial is outside of us that we have no control over, that comes against us or is meeting us as we go through this life. So do not call your sinful consequences an excuse and label trial on that. No, that is not true, not at all. That's a whole nother issue that we have to deal with. And James will deal with that as we go along. A trial is something external to us, an outward, again, influence upon our lives of difficulty and or of testing. So we must discipline our thoughts to see our trials as such that there's a potential for joy in every circumstance we face. Again, this is a massive part of maturity in the Christian life. There are so many Western Christian believers that do not get to this point because they are taught that to be a believer in Jesus Christ, life is easy and you get all the stuff given to you and your health is never failing and it's false teaching from the pit of hell. Not even close to what's in scripture, not even close that so many Western believers and churches all around this place and all around this continent are teaching such things that Jesus wants to throw up out of his mouth because of how contrary it is to what his word actually teaches. If you don't have a theology of suffering in the Christian life, you're also done. There's no way you will make it. It's everywhere in scripture. And amazing, right here, the first thing James says is this. First thing he says, count on all joy, brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. I just wanna say this too. Count on all joy. Joy here is not based on our circumstances. Our world flaps around words like happiness. Happiness, we know, is temporal. It's a feeling. I eat a burger for lunch today. It makes me happy. Well, how long does that last? As long as it takes for indigestion to come upon you. It just is so fleeting. Joy is eternal. Joy is not circumstantial. Joy is found in the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ and by his gospel. Joy can be accessed in every moment, in every occasion, in every time by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. Again, trials will come. And the question is, how will we view them when they do? If you look at verse 2, notice it says, when you meet trials of various kinds. So notice again, not if, when. Trials are guaranteed. So how will we view the trials when they meet us in our lives? Notice that next phrase right there. When you meet trials. This can also be translated as when you fall into trials. Isn't this so true, eh? You're walking along in life. Things seem to be fairly smooth. You're just kind of going through life. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, without warning, you fall directly into a significant or serious, and in some cases, massive trial. You're just walking through life. You're trying to be faithful. You're going along. And then all of a sudden, without warning, at no advance notice, you literally fall into it. You wake up one morning, you get a phone call, you stumble upon an incident, whatever, and you fall into a trial and everything begins to change. This happens all the time. This very room is packed with testimonies of trials of various kinds. For some of you, 2022, you were going through life and you got hit upside the head with something you could not have ever predicted. And a huge trial hits your life and changes everything, the way you think and behave and even what you're expecting. And for some of us, 2023, without warning and without notice, a trial will enter into our lives and come upon us so unexpectedly. When you meet trials, trials meet us. We fall into trials. You can't stop it. You can't control it. You can't fix it. It happens, doesn't it? It happens to all of us. And this is a massive part of genuinely following Jesus Christ. In the sovereignty of God, He ordains or allows trials of various kinds to meet us because He wants to do a greater work in us. But here's the critical part. When we meet trials, when we fall into trials, will we consider it joy? It's easier said than done. Will our trials, and again, this is one of the massive things James is going through here by the Holy Spirit. Will our trials be met with instant groaning, instant complaining, instant whining, and instant self-pity, and instant desire for escape? For a lot of people, that's how trials are met. Instant get me out of here, instant woe is me, instant self-pity, instant whining, instant complaining, instant I just want comfort, bring it back. But that's not God's purposes for us, as we'll see in our text today. Or when we fall into trials, are we able to consider in mind to find joy because we understand, this is the key right here, that a greater work is happening within our lives as we fall into trials of various kinds. And this is the call for today. Are we able to see that when we encounter trials and fall into them, it is the purposes of God that He is doing a greater work within our lives that could ever happen apart from the trial happening to us? And that, again, is a massive point of Christian maturity. The joy comes when you recognize the grace of God and the increased character and strength that is happening to us as we seek to endure and persevere and actually become stronger through the trials that God has allowed. That is not your best life now, praise the Lord. To that. But here in James 1, we have this wonderful, biblical, obviously, powerful exhortation to the reality of everything we face in all of our lives. So it's very clear. Consider it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. But now we're asking, okay, but why? Why? How? How is it possible? Like when you take trials, you know, from a distance, like trials stink. Like who wants a trial? Trials stink. Don't trials stink? Should we not want to avoid trials? Like, isn't that the common feeling that everyone has? But see, the Bible helps us now. God's word helps us. Why should trials be considered joy within our lives? Three reasons from verses 3 and 4 here on the screen beside me and behind me here. Okay, here's why we are to consider joy within trials. Number one, because trials test our faith. Because trials test our faith. You're like, well, why is that good? Well, let's read and let's learn. Look at verse 3. For, transition, this is why we want to count it joy. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So just notice the first part there. For the testing of your faith. The word testing here could also be translated proves us. For our faith is proven with the trials that come upon our lives. So let's see ourselves, let's say as, I heard this one time, see ourselves as spiritual toothpaste. Stay with me. When the trials come, it squeezes on our lives and it pushes out the reality of what's inside. We are squeezed in our lives and who we are is revealed in the midst of our trial. Here's a very powerful quote I saw this week. I love this. Adversity introduces a man or woman to himself or herself. That's good, man. Let's just leave that up for a second. I just want you guys to look at that and think about that. One of the main purposes of testing and trials and adversity is we get to find out what we're really like. We've talked a big game. Let's find out what's really inside. One of the great purposes of adversity is this. It introduces us to ourselves and what's actually inside. You know, it's kind of like when a trial comes up and a trial meets us, it bumps into us and we spill out that which is within. And you can't fake that stuff. That's the stuff that who you are is who you are. And God often wants us to see the reality of what's inside so he can do a greater work in us that results in a greater glory for him, right? So when trials meet us, good questions, do they produce anxiety? Do they produce anger? Do they produce animosity? Do they produce an alarm of fear? And all those words just start with A. I mean, all the other things we could say about that. What do trials produce? I want you to think about that. In our lives, as we meet them in various kinds. See, so testing, notice, for you know that the testing of your faith, so testing, very similar to when a furnace is turned up on a precious metal. Why would a metal worker, a metalsmith, turn up the heat upon a metal? Because as the metal is heated, its worth is proven. As the furnace is turned up on the metal, the reality of its worth and value, the impurities of that metal rise to the surface. It's the heat that shows you what you actually got. It's the trial upon the metal that purifies. The heat that comes upon our lives reveals what's actually again within. So one of the great purposes of trials is sent into our lives to reveal to us and maybe others what is in our hearts, but mostly us, that we get to see the reality of the faith that we claim to have. Charles Spurgeon sheds powerful light on this. I remember this quote I said a couple of years ago, I think. I just love it so much. On the screen for you, he says this. Listen to this. He says, this is maturity. I'm afraid that all the grace that I've got out of my comfortable and easy times and happy hours might almost lie on a penny. Okay, so I want us to all try to admit to ourselves that most of the time, the things that we want are comfortable, easy times, happy hours. And Spurgeon says, if I got that is all I received, the benefits would be basically enough to sit on a penny.
Thank you for listening again today from all of us here at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca. or on our podcast available on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.